Well, a question I'd like you to consider today is, what is it that defines community? You think of community, and that is somewhat of a loaded word, maybe even in the church the last 10 or 15 years. But what do you think of when you think of community? How do you create it? What are the essential components that cause community to happen? Well, the first thing I think of, well, at least one of the things, is connection. Community happens from some type of connection with people. There are a variety of ways that we connect with people. Some connections just happen. In fact, they're kind of forced on us. When we are born into a family, we don't really get to choose who our family is. That we have a natural connection to them. It's a community that we are a part of, that we come into. We're born into it. In our family, we are a part of the Swartz family on my side, and on Doris's side, we're part of the Metzler family. So we have our immediate family we're a part of, but then we have these extended families that we are brought into. And as any of you that, when you become married, you suddenly realize that you're a part of yet another family or community that you interact with, and maybe you didn't choose, you chose your spouse, but you didn't realize that, hey, I chose also this family that comes along with my spouse. Well, you have other communities that kind of just happen as well, from association. You know, and those would be like our neighbors. Sometimes we do choose our neighbors, but once we move into a neighborhood, we don't really have any control about the other neighbors that move in next door or across the street. So that's a community that we're a part of, just kind of from default of where we're located. Or take where you work, for example. Once again, you make a choice about where you work, but people come and go, and you become part of a community there of people. And some of it you might like, other parts you may not like so much. But the fact is that when I go to Command Alcon in Columbus, I'm a part of a community there. And when you go to your job, you have a similar community as well, to more or less extent. But some of that is really just association. We happen to be in the same areas, we happen to work together, we happen to live together, and we associate ourselves with those people. You hear often referred to a community as a whole, like the London community, or maybe the Rosedale community, or whatever locale you're located, can be a type of community that's referred to. But these are just referred to by association, really, in a lot of respects. Well, other communities form around common interests, or even similar personality types or backgrounds. You'll see them happen naturally. There's a common bond around some type of thing, something that maybe you like. An obvious one that we think of course, in Central Ohio is the Buckeye community. There's a community there. You know, Buckeye fans, they relate to each other. They have a common interest. They get together and they talk about very similar things as being a Buckeye fan. So there's other kinds of things that you're interested in. It's amazing if you look at the plethora of communities that exist that a lot of us don't even know are happening around us. You name just about any kind of activity, and if you associate with somebody and they kind of bring you into that activity in that community, and you look and say, wow, these people are doing all this stuff together, and they're, you know, whatever it is, and you kind of look and say, I didn't even know that was happening. But all these communities form around, whether it's from music or interest in the arts or sports or politics, or maybe it's crafts to gardening to quilting. You name it, there's a community that exists based around those kinds of interests. People are engaged and connected around that particular interest. Well, then you have communities that simply form because people just like each other. They may not have common interests. They may not even come from similar backgrounds, but They may have bumped into each other, like in the work community that they have, or the neighborhood community, wherever it might be, and suddenly realize that there's a friendship that happens and a connection that happens. And so just out of pure friendship, a community forms, a bond forms there. Well, the last few times that I've spoken, I've talked about some of our purposes here at London Christian Fellowship. And I spoke about evangelism as one of our purposes and discipleship the last time I spoke. And the next couple of times, I'd like to talk about fellowship. And really, right now, I'm referring to as community is the word that I am going to use a lot. So I'd like us to explore this question of what is, over the next few weeks, what is real community and what makes it happen? And maybe that's not even a correct term. Can you make real community happen? We all know that some communities are much closer than others. And you look at that and say, what's the difference? Why are some close? Why are some not so close? What are the components that make up a true community? And in particular, I want to look at the church. What is, and this is a question I want us to think about, what is authentic Christian community? What does that look like? And are you experiencing that? Do you experience authentic Christian community? And we, of course, we need to define those terms a little bit. What is authentic? What does it mean to have Christian community? What does that look like? Well, do you experience that? Is that happening in your community? Is that happening here at LCF? And why or why not? Why might that happen and why not? Well, all throughout the New Testament, the church is described as a body. There are over 10 references to the church in this way, that the church is a body, and it's connected. Over and over, we're called to live together in unity and in peace without division. Now, there's no question from Scripture that God intends the church to be a place of authentic community. And I think Reuben's message last week touched on some of the pieces that go into authentic Christian community when he talked about laying aside bitterness as a focus. That is involved in authentic Christian community. And if you haven't heard that message, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to it. But today we're going to look at Romans chapter 12, and that's the primary text. And I think we'll find here some eye-opening essentials to what authentic Christian community is in Romans chapter 12. And we're going to begin in verse 3. So follow along with me if you have a Bible. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is in contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." Well, if I were to summarize and get to the point of this whole message, I would say, use your gifts. Every single one of you has been given special gifts from God as a believer. And these gifts were intended to be used in the body. And so my encouragement today is for you to use your gifts. And we're going to talk a little bit more about what that looks like. You might be wondering, well, what are my gifts? And maybe some of you have discovered those and you feel like you're utilizing them. Others might think, well, I don't really know what they are. Or maybe you aren't motivated to use your gift. Maybe you know what it is, but you just either don't have time or don't feel like doing it. And I was thinking about gifts this morning, and I was talking with Brenda Freed on the phone this week, and she was talking about an incident that happened back in our small group a few years ago. And so I wanted to refer to that this morning, and maybe some of you remember, but can anybody do the hula hoop? Anybody here do this? Holly? I'm gonna see if I can do this, but I don't really know how to do a hula hoop, so I'm gonna try it, okay? So. I heard some laughing back there. So I'm not really too good at the hula hoop, but we discovered that there's somebody that is really good at the hula hoop. So I wanna have her give a demonstration of how to do this. Okay? Somebody here knows how to do this. Be saying, what was the intention of that illustration? Well, if Brenda can get up here and do the hula hoop in front of all of you, I think each of you could probably use your gift in front of all of us in some way to be able to plug it in. But each of us has a gift, and some of us, you know, may not even have the opportunity to use that. And that the body needs that gift. The body is incomplete without that gift. And so this passage, the main focus is for us as believers, for each of us to be engaged in the body, actively using the gifts that God has given us. The body needs your gifts to fulfill its mission. Teachers need to teach. Leaders need to lead. Givers need to give. Fixers need to fix. Whatever your gift or calling is, it's needed in the body. And without your gift, the body suffers. There's something missing. Without the body, being engaged in the body, you suffer as being isolated from that. Without an outlet for your gifts, often frustration and discontentment happens. I've seen it happen with people that have leadership gifts and they're not given an opportunity to use that gift. They become frustrated. They haven't found an outlet. There's not an opportunity to use that. So the main message really to this is to use the gifts that God has given to you. But Paul also gives us some guidelines here about how to use those gifts. And so I want to step through those guidelines that he gives. We see here in the first verse here, he talks about really humility. We're to view ourselves with humility. And Philippians even calls it, says, that we're to view others as better than ourselves. If you look at Philippians chapter 2, we have to realize that we have gifts that have been given to us, that we need to utilize them, but we don't have all the answers. We have a piece of the pie, we have a section, we have a responsibility for that, but we don't have all of the answers to what faces the church or what we need to do or what we need to do as a church. But we do have a section of that. We alone do not know what needs to be done. When there are problems, it's not always somebody else's fault. We don't always have the proper perspective on that. We need to recognize that we are a work in progress. We have something essential to contribute, but it needs to be complemented and balanced by the rest of the body. As the New Living Translation puts it, don't overestimate your value. It's important, but don't overestimate it. Well, the second point I want to draw out of this passage is that we are not independent. Now, in the society today, it seems like independence is a very much promoted, to be independent, to work independently. But it's very clear in this passage that we're not intended to be independent. We're intended to be in authentic Christian community. And in fact, it's interesting here, if you look down in verse 5, it says that each member belongs to all the others. Did you ever think of that, what that looks like? So I want you to look at your neighbor and say, I belong to you. Go ahead. I might have felt a little weird saying that. Yeah, I do too. That seems a little weird, doesn't it? But in reality, it's the truth. As soon as you become a believer, you become a part of a body. You become a part of a body. You belong to each other. It's almost like when you're born into your physical family, you're born into a spiritual family that you may have not have chose everybody to be a part of, but you are a part of that body. You are a part of that group. So we're intended to live in community. When you become a believer, you're born into the family of God. In Ephesians 4, it says that through Christ, the whole body is joined and held together. You belong to each other. And sometimes I wonder, you know, with membership, what does membership really mean? And I think it really comes back to this. This passage talks a lot about membership in some ways. Membership is simply recognizing the fact that you're a part of a body and you're committing yourself to a local part of that body. And recognizing that, yes, I am a part of this, I am committed to it, we're joined together. Your gifts were intended to be used in community with believers. You need their support, they need your gift. You need to be balanced by them, and they need to be challenged by you. Well, these next three that I want to look at are used in conjunction with specific gifts that he mentions here, but I believe that they really can be applied for all gifts, so I'm going to give some general application for all three of these. The first one is generosity. And this one is referred to in relation to giving. If your gift is giving, that you should give generously. But I think this word applies to all gifts. Use your gifts generously. Your gifts are not things to be conserved. You're to give generously of what you have been given within the scope of God's call on your life. And sometimes we get confused with that. It doesn't mean that we do everything. But within God's call on your life, use your gifts generously. There isn't really a need for reluctance or false modesty. We don't always have to wait for someone to ask us to do a work that we know God is calling us to do. If your gift is giving, don't wait for everyone else to get it. Sometimes the rest of us don't notice those things, and that happens with gifts. Often you will notice a need or something that needs to be done, and you might wait for other people to notice that before. You don't necessarily need to wait for that. If it's giving, you know, don't wait for it to qualify as a tax deduction. Give. Using our gifts can be scary, can be difficult, and they require sacrifice. But I really believe that we feel most fulfilled when we're being faithful to God's call in our lives and we're freely exercising the gifts that He has given to us. The next one we see here that I want to point out is diligence. And this is given in relation to leadership, but I believe once again that it can apply across all gifts. Perform your task diligently. Take it seriously. I think this is an area that sometimes Christians get confused in. The work of the church is mostly volunteer work. We are diligent maybe in our pain jobs because we get obvious compensation for that. We also have a boss that we report to. We have regular reviews. And so we have those kinds of things that motivate us to keep our job, to do a good job. But I think the same applies in our gifts that we've been given from God, is to do them with diligence. We know that nobody will challenge us sometimes. We think that we will, and it often happens that we're not challenged when maybe we're not doing a very good job in our gift or as a volunteer. And so I think sometimes that's appropriate, but that needs to fit within really what God is asking you to do. But that can be a part of it, is that, you know, I can kind of get by with this because nobody's really going to challenge me on it, so I'm just going to kind of do a mediocre job. But Paul is calling us here to do our task with diligence. Now, I don't think we should take ourselves too seriously, and this can be a problem for perfectionists because diligence, sometimes we end up thinking it's all depends upon us, and if we don't do this just right, then everything is going to fail. And that's simply not true. God is the one that's doing the work. God is the one that's carrying it out. And he simply wants you to join in with what he's doing, with the gifts that he's given you to do. His work will be carried out. But it is an excuse for us to not take our calling seriously. There's no reason why we shouldn't aspire to do it with excellence. And the last point here that I want to point out is that we should do it cheerfully. It is a labor of love. It is an opportunity to bless the church. It's a chance to honor God. It's not really a time for complaining or for finding fault. We all know that we are imperfect. All of us are imperfect. And if you want to look for fault, you'll find it. It's easy to find fault. It's there. We are works in progress. But our service to God and our brothers should be one that we do with joy and consider it a privilege. There's no question that we may not see results that we would wish from our service. There's no question that at times and maybe often that we'll feel underappreciated for the gifts that we're doing, for the things that we're carrying out. That will happen. However, we're not called to critique others on their calling, but to be faithful in our calling. And to do it humbly, in community, with generosity, and diligence, and cheerfulness. Well, I want to finish with thinking about the body again. And just picture with me, if you can, this body that we are part of, that is described so many times in the New Testament. What happens to that body when some of those gifts aren't being utilized? Well, one thing I think of is I think the body is somewhat handicapped. I think it can't quite reach the potential that it has if not everything is functioning in that body. Say your arm isn't functioning. The body is not able to perform its task as well as if the arm was functioning as part of that body. The same with each part of the body. They're integral, they're important. How many of you would be willing to give up a part of your body today? Anybody have a part that you say, yeah, I really don't need that? No, well, I guess you want to keep them. So I'm kind of the same way. I kind of like all the parts, and I want to keep all of them. And that's the same way with the body of Christ. We need all of those parts. And so when some of them are missing, that body isn't able to function. Another thing I thought of is overcompensation. And I thought of Kevin Duncan in this situation. I can't remember which arm he injured first. I think it was his left. But when you lose the use of one arm or one part of the body, what often happens is that the rest of the body tries to compensate for that, and then overcompensation occurs. If you talk to Kevin Duncan, you know that he lost the use of his left hand because it was injured, and so he ended up using his right arm and his right hand for everything. And in the process, he damaged his right arm, so that now he actually has difficulty with both of them, because this arm got overused because the other one, he was not able to use it. And so I think it's an example of what can happen in the church body as well, is when one area of gifting is not filled by the person who has that gift, there are other parts of the body that try and compensate for that. And what happens is those other parts of the body get overloaded. And after a period of time, they crash, and in some cases, they become completely useless to the body as well. And so an overcompensation can happen when all the gifts are not functioning together. And the last one I thought of is just uncoordinated. And I thought of this in relation to myself, that it seems like a lot of times I wish I was better coordinated, and especially it seems as age creeps on that my coordination isn't quite like my reaction time, isn't quite like it used to be. I can't run quite as fast as what I used to be able to run, and my children are really starting to challenge me, and it's starting to, you know, kind of get on my nerves. But this idea of being uncoordinated, and if we are not closely working together, then I think the body kind of has this kind of uncoordination of, there's a lack of focus, maybe a lack of direction of what we're called to do as a group. And so there's lack of coordination of effort working together. There's some independence that's happening, some things happening here and here, but a lack of coordination. So those are just a picture maybe of what happens to the body when all the gifts are not functioning. Conversely, I think when all of those gifts are functioning, you have a real team. You have something that really works closely together, can accomplish and fulfill the purpose that God has for that group. And if you think of maybe examples of that, if you've been watching the Olympics, you think of, just take an athlete who is trained for those Olympics, and every part of their body has been tuned and trained and tested in order to be able to accomplish that task that they've been given. And even if you look at teams in general, I was thinking of the gymnastics teams, so I was watching some of that yesterday, how these guys are all dependent on each other's scores. Their score doesn't stand on its own. They're dependent on each person pulling their weight on that team in order for them to achieve the purpose that they have. They belong to each other. And that's a similar picture of how we are as the body of Christ. We belong to each other. So I want to return to that question that I asked at the beginning. Are you experiencing authentic Christian community? And I think when we think of that, if you're like me, we naturally want to go to, well, yeah, there's some areas where I wish I experienced that more. Maybe I don't feel like I'm connected well to people, or maybe I'm not feeling appreciated, or maybe my needs aren't being met like I would like them to. And so I think it's easy to focus on that type of thing. And I was surprised as I was studying this scripture of this idea of gifts and how important that is to community. Just the simple fact that if I use my gift in community with humility, diligently, cheerfully, that is a huge contribution to creating authentic Christian community. What it does for us is it gets the focus off of ourselves and gets the focus on serving other people and helping them, helping the work of God continue. And that's really where our focus needs to be, is off of ourselves and on the work that God has given us to do and on serving each other in that process. like I said, we don't necessarily choose. When we become a believer, we become a part of a family, and we didn't necessarily choose that family. And even in our own families or our marriages where we have become a community, often we don't necessarily feel that community. The feelings sometimes come later. They're not always there, and they're not a good thing to base what authentic community is on. So we get back to this idea of serving others and using our gifts for others. We're a body, brothers and sisters in Christ. We belong to each other. We need each other. And regardless of our feelings, we're to serve one another, using our gifts together in concert to bring glory to God and further His kingdom. So what is your calling? What is your ministry? And maybe you don't even know what it is exactly, or maybe you feel like you haven't had the opportunity to use it. And I would encourage you to talk to me or any of the leadership team. If you have an area where that you want to exercise your gift in, talk to us. We'd love to see it plugged in. If you want help in figuring out what it is, talk to us as well. We'd love to help you figure out your gifting and see you fulfilled and carrying that out. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of it. And I pray that you would help us to understand what Paul is telling us here. Help us to understand what it means to be a part of a body. And Lord, I pray that those of us who are maybe feeling timid about our gifts, maybe we're feeling like they're not worth much, I pray that you would encourage those and help them to understand how important and vital their gift is to the entire body. I pray that we would appreciate each other's gifts. And Lord, I ask that we could affirm each other in those. It is true, often we take each other for granted and the things that we bring to the body. I pray that we would be good in affirming each other and show an appreciation for the uniqueness of how you've made us, the gifts that you've given to us, and how they contribute to our lives and to your work. So Lord, I pray that you'd encourage us to be able to use our gifts and appreciate them in each other. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.